Amen. I'm glad we're complete in Christ. Actually, I want to preach to you about that a little bit this morning. And so I trust you'll give your undivided attention to the preaching of the Word of God. We have been in the book of the 23rd Psalm for a week or so, and we're kind of getting started, laying a foundation. We were in John chapter 10 talking about the Good Shepherd and his sheep. And now we're in Psalm 23 talking about the sheep as he views the Good Shepherd. If you'll remember last time we were in the 23rd Psalm, we talked about how to have a happy life, how to have a happy death. You say happy in death? Absolutely. Absolutely. Death for the believer will just usher us into the presence of God. Amen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How to have a happy life, how to have a happy death, and then it ends in verse number 6 with how to have a happy eternity. To know that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I trust you know that. I do. Today, I want to talk to you and preach to you a little bit out of the 23rd Psalm on this phrase, I shall not want. I shall not want. And as I thought about this, I thought about what is David saying? You know, David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because he is, and I believe there's an exclamation mark there. I really do. I believe that David was saying, the Lord is my shepherd, you know, with the emphasis on the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. When you read about shepherding back in those days, you find that they were some very slack shepherds who didn't tend their sheep very well, who didn't really take the responsibility as a shepherd very seriously. But David, being a shepherd himself, realized that the condition of the sheep and the care of the sheep was largely in part by the care of the shepherd. And so he said, I am so glad that the Lord, none other than Jehovah God, the great I am, is my shepherd. And he said, because of that, I shall not want. What's David saying there? Well, I believe there's a few things he's saying, but I believe what it all boils down to is this, and I want to talk to you and preach to you this morning about this, how to be happy. Because I think that's what David is saying. I think David is saying, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm content with that. I lack nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd. That's what the word want. I'm in want of. I am in lack of nothing. Because the Lord is my shepherd. You understand what David is saying? He said, I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. I'm content. Did you know that since I've been old enough to remember, happiness has meant a lot to me. For so long it seemed to evade me and it was elusive. But on October the 26th, 1980, I found the source of happiness that I wished every man could find. Every woman, every boy, every girl, David found it. He said, I'm happy. I'm happy. Pastor David preached out of the Beatitudes on the good life. And when he was preaching out of the Beatitudes on the good life, he used that word blessed, and from the root of that word blessed, we get our word happiness. I'm happy. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Are you happy? I mean, really. Now listen, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Sometimes we try to, almost like we try to trick ourselves into believing something that's really not so. But in your heart of hearts, are you happy? Are you? Can I tell you that that is the quest of all of the human race, young and old, they're seeking happiness. If I were to take a mic and go to the street and ask people, what are you really pursuing in life? Some may say money, but what they really mean is happiness. Some may say fulfillment, but what they really mean is happiness. See, that's just what they think is going to bring them happiness. As I sit at my desk some this past week, and I thought about this, in particular yesterday as I was sitting there just kind of going over, pouring over notes, and just really meditating on what is David saying? I had to ask myself some very serious questions. Am I happy? Am I a happy man? Am I really happy? Can I say that I'm living the good life? Have I found what many are pursuing? Am I content? Or am I continuing to search and to reach and to pursue more? I think that's what David is saying. Listen, the search is over. The pursuit is over. I found him. Amen. I found him. I found the true source of what every person should have. The source that brings ultimate, complete, and final happiness. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen. I shall not want. The pursuit's over, right? I've made the Lord my shepherd. The pursuit's over. Now I get to enjoy it. You know, it's really hard to enjoy something while you're pursuing it. But he said, the search is over. The frantic search, the fear of never finding what I'm searching for, it's done, it's complete, it's over. I'm happy now. Can you say that about yourself? I'm happy. You say, well, preacher, I wish I could. I want to. Well, no, that's not the question. Not is that what you want. I think that's what every person wants. I would be foolish to stand up here and try to pretend that that's really not the pursuit of mankind. The pursuit of mankind is happiness. It's just that the roads to that pursuit are different. But at the end of that road, every person wants to find the same thing. Happiness. Completeness. They sang about it. Completeness. Fulfillment. Contentment. Something that kind of scratches that itch deep down in your soul. David said, I found it. I found it. Now there's some things that this does for me, and I want to share it with you. As I look through this, I really believe that this is, and again, I'm going to kind of get over to the overall psalm a little bit before I get to this particular phrase. But when you look at this psalm, it kind of explains David's pursuit, his journey. Someone said this psalm will take you all away from earth to heaven. It'll take you all away from the green pastures of and the still waters of earth, all the way to the house of God forever. And everything in between. It just goes through it all. That phrase, I've got it marked in my Bible in verse number 6, all the days of my life. I just really believe that that's what David is summing it up. He's saying, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want all the days of my life. Why? I'm happy. I'm not on a quest to get more. I don't have to say, well, if I just had that one more thing. No, that doesn't mean your ambition dies. That doesn't mean that your drive dies. It just means that you have the core, you have the center, you have happiness. The pursuit's over. Now, through that happiness, you will obtain more. And I think that's what David is saying. And so he's saying this. He said, how can you be happy all the days of your life? Now, as we shall see, David's not saying that you're going to have good days all the days of your life. Now, goodness shall follow you all the days of your life. Mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. But that doesn't mean that there'll be good days all the days of your life. He actually said, if you'll notice in verse number 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That doesn't sound like a good day. Right? Yea, in verse number 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That doesn't sound like a very good day. But on those not so good days, I shall not want. Because I found the source for the not so good days. I know how to be happy when things around me are not very happy. It's easy to be happy when certain things are a certain way. Because in our minds as human beings, we have become so man-centered And I have to fight this regularly in my life. Even our churches, our worship has become so man-centered and not God-centered that we try to solve only problems that God can solve and find happiness that only God can give through man-made ways. I hope you got that. As I sit at my desk yesterday, I thought, my, what a fool I've been at times, thinking that I can devise something that would bring me that only God can give me. And we have become so man-centered that we're trying to find this happiness. We're trying to find happiness in the midst of bad happenings man's way instead of letting God just be our shepherd. God, you're my shepherd. I want to allow you to be what you are. Just leave me, Lord. Leave me. Restore me. Right? Make me aware of your presence. Yes, though there's bad days in verse number 4. There's dark days, the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you make your presence aware to me. Because thou art with me. You see what David is saying? The shepherd's the answer, brethren. And so I want to give you just three simple truths, and I hope you'll write them down. Number one, the life of happiness. The life of happiness. You see, what David does here, for all of us, David does something. He answers the question, can a man be happy all the days of his life? Can a man be happy in spite of the sinful, depraved, fallen condition that we're in? Can a man in this life be happy? David said, you know he can, because I am. And because I am, it goes to show that it's obtainable. It can be a reality in your life. Because God is no respecter of persons, right, folks? If David can be happy, I can be happy. If David can be without want, I can be without want. Why? Because David's shepherd is my shepherd. David's shepherd, if you're saved, is your shepherd. And so we can say with David, the Lord is my shepherd. It's something that's obtainable. It's something that can be reached. It can be a reality in our lives. It doesn't have to be a dream or a fantasy. I pray to God that somebody this morning that maybe is in pursuit and it seems to be eluding you and it seems to take one more step to get there, that you'll finally take that step and realize what's going to make this a reality. And his name is Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. And he said, I'm living a happy life. A life of happiness. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm satisfied. I'm content. I'm happy. I'm fulfilled. I wrote something down. Actually, I pulled it up and I want to share it with you. Many of you know who Fanny Crosby is. She wrote over 3,000 hymns. Some of my favorite hymns in all of the Christian hymn books of every sort were written by this lady. Do you know the story of Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was born, and in 6 weeks of her birth, she was blind. She wrote some great hymns. I'm going to read a portion of a hymn that lets you know she found the secret. She found the secret. Listen to this. I'm not going to tell you to the end of this how old she was when she penned this. Oh, what a happy soul I am. And oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. She was blind from the age of 6 weeks. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't. She found the secret. Right? She said, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm not going to allow my blindness to steal my happiness. There's many things that can steal your happiness if you allow it to. You know how old Fanny Crosby was when she wrote that song? Listen to me, children. 8 years old. You know, oftentimes when I think of an 8-year-old, I think of someone that could never be contented. Someone who always wants another one. You know, can I have a cookie? Yes, here's a cookie. Can I have another one? Right? Right? She learned the secret. She learned the secret of what it was. She learned the secret of a happy, contented life. A life without want. Take your Bible and we'll come back here. So hold your hand here and turn, if you would, to Philippians. I started not to ask you to turn to this passage and just kind of go over it with you, but you've got to see this. Philippians chapter 4, there is a man by the name of the Apostle Paul. If you're familiar with church and reading your Bible, you've heard of this man. The Apostle Paul was a man that went through and endured many, many obstacles in life. Many. As a matter of fact, if you'll read over in 2 Corinthians, you can read just some of the things that he went through. He went through a lot. You say, well, preacher, I've been through a lot. I don't doubt that. Listen, life has a way of coming at you strong, doesn't it? It just keeps coming, too. I don't know who it was this morning, but I was talking with someone this morning. I think it was you, Brother Nick. And he said, you know what? The devil just keeps coming, doesn't he, preacher? And I said, he does, brother. He just keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. That's why we just have to keep fighting and keep fighting and keep fighting and keep trusting and keep trusting and keep trusting. The devil's relentless, but our Savior is ever near. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, to the church at Philippi, he said this in verse number 10. Look at it. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, there's the secret. He's getting ready to tell you something that's really, really important. And he said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. And now watch this. Not that I speak in respect of want. Now, there's a word. There's a word. Don't forget that. Paul is saying what David said. He said, I have no want. I'm not speaking in terms of, in respect of a lack. Because he said this, I have learned, verse number 11, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I'm happy. But Paul, you don't have everything you need. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Jesus is my Savior. I may not have it in my hand, I may not have it in my pocket, I may not have it in my account, but I have it in my Savior. And He will choose when He's going to deal it out to me. You see, in the person of Christ, every need that I will have all the days of my life is in Jesus. That's what Paul is saying. I'm content. I'm content. I've learned. Have you learned how to be happy? You say, preacher, I just want to wake up one day and be happy. That's not going to happen. It's not. Now, it will if it's based on emotion. It will if it's based on happenings. But if it's based on how to obtain true happiness, biblical happiness, unchanging happiness, contentment, it has to be built on the Word of God and Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, as we read on now, verse number 12, he said, for I know how both how to be abased and I know how to abound. You say, well, Paul was happy because he had it all. He said, no. He's saying, folks, Christians, please listen to me. He said this. He said, I know what it is to be abounding, but he said, I also know what it is to be abased. I know what it is to be up here, and I know what it is to be down here. Let's read on. He said, everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I'm not just saying that I'm content when the bills are paid, when the health is good, when everything's going my way. I'm telling you, God has taught me how to be content, how to be happy, whether the bills are paid or not, because Jesus meets my needs. I'm not looking to anything or anyone else. Jesus meets my needs. I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus is enough. It's just we have to come to terms with that. And it's not easy. It's not easy. You say, preacher, I was hoping you'd say it was. Well, if it was, we'd all be happy. Amen. If it was easy, we'd all be happy. But I'm here to tell you, as a pastor for 35, 36 years, I've dealt with a lot of unhappy church folks. That doesn't make you bad. I'm not saying that doesn't make us bad. It just means we need to learn the secret that David learned. What is it, preacher? Last part of verse number 12, he said, I'm instructed. Instructed? Yeah, he said, I'm in the Word. I'm leaning on my shepherd. And he's teaching me. He's instructing me how to be full and to be hungry, both how to abound and to suffer need. I'm leaning on my shepherd. Who is that shepherd, Paul? Look at verse number 13. I can do all things through my shepherd. His name is Jesus. And he strengthens me. Amen. Are you following the thought here? He said, I know what it is. I know what it is to trust the shepherd. Let's go back to Psalm 23. So we find where the psalmist here said, I'm complete. David said, I'm happy, right? I'm happy. I'm complete. I'm not in want. This week I read a story about a missionary who went to Tobago. And while he was in the island of Tobago, he was asked as a missionary, there was a missionary who had been on the island for many years who said, listen, I've been ministering at this leper colony. And he said, I'd like for you to come and visit it with me. And he was a little reluctant, as you could imagine, at first. And he said, you know what? He said, I'll go. He said, it absolutely changed his life. Because when he got there, he said, there was a group of people. He said, it was one of the saddest scenes I'd ever witnessed in my life. And he said that there were these lepers that were sitting around, and he said they had all manner of disfiguration and deformity. And he said that when the missionary said, we're going to sing a song, does anyone have a favorite that they want to sing before our friend brings the message to you? And he said that there was this lady sitting right at the front. Her nose had been eaten away by the dreadful disease. Her ears were no longer on her face. Her face, he said, was disfigured more than any person he had ever seen in his life. And he said when she raised her hand to make the request for the song that she wanted to sing, she had no fingers on her nub. And the missionary said, yes, and he called this native woman by her name, and she said, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? And this missionary guest said that his heart dropped within him. And he thought, she's found the secret. She's found the secret. See, if we're not careful, we'll think what we have or what we get is going to bring happiness, or we'll think what we lose is going to take from it. But it's what we are in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The Lord is my shepherd. What's that make me? I'm his sheep. Amen. I'm his sheep. I pray that we never forget this. The life of happiness. I want to move on now to a second point, and that is the life of lack. And I wrote down a few quotations that I'd like to read you. The life of lack. We are so driven to get things in life. And I'm not, listen, I hope nobody would leave here this morning saying, well, you know, the pastor, he wants to kill our ambition. He wants to kill our drive. Not at all. Not at all. I just want you to stop your quest for happiness. I want you to come to a place, really as to a person, to where you can say, all the happiness that I will ever need, all the days of my life, as the psalmist said, are in my shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. That's where it's at. Don't go outside of that. Please don't do that. Listen, David didn't say, my family is the reason I shall not want. Thank God for family. Amen, church? Your family. Listen, you won't meet a person more family-oriented than your pastor. But the family is not where there's unending happiness. Thank God for our families. Be there for them. Spend time with them. But David didn't say, my family. He come from a good family. He was from a good stock. But he said, it's the Lord is the reason I shall not mourn. Is that what he said? He didn't say my career. He didn't say my kingship of Israel. He didn't say any of that. I believe the 23rd Psalm was written on the backside of David's life. And I think as he looked across the back part of his life, at the front part of his life, he said, my, how the shepherd has taken care of me. And as I neared that phase of my life, the back part of my life, I can look back and see the hand of God who led me all along the way. How about you? Amen? And so David didn't say it's my career. He didn't say it's my house. And because of that, I shall not want. He didn't say it's my job, my hobby, my friends, my family. No, it's none of that. Is there anything wrong with any of that? No, in case you're trying to find lasting happiness in them. Then that which is good can become bad. Because your family will let you down. I'm going to say it again. Your family will let you down. You say, well, not those that are sitting here with me today. Well, that's not all your family. Your friends will let you down. Is that right, folks? Your friends will let you down. One day you're not going to be able to work that job. One day you're not going to be able to fulfill that career. One day you're not going to be able to purchase that next thing. But your shepherd will always be there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. Never. George Mueller. Many of you know about George Mueller. George Mueller, and I'm going to read this to you. Though a man always of delicate physical constitution began evangelistic tours at the age of 70. At 70 years old, he began to travel around the world. And for over 17 years, traveling an equivalent of 8 times around the world, he continued to carry much of the responsibilities of the orphanages until beyond the age of 90. As a young man, Mueller's frequent and serious illnesses made many feel that he would die early or hopelessly succumb to those diseases. Yet at 92, listen to me now, 92, you say, now preacher, I'm past all that happiness stuff. Well, no, I don't think you ever outgrow happiness. Somebody say amen with me. At the age of 92, he said, I have been able every day and all the day to work and with that at ease as 70 years ago. And he ascribed his marvelous preservation to these three causes. You might want to write them down. Number one, the exercising of myself to have always a conscience void of offense both toward God and toward men. You live a happy life? You want to stay close to the shepherd? You want to have peace in your heart? Live your life void of offense toward God and man. You say, well, how will I know? The Spirit of God lives in you. The shepherd comes with the Spirit. And the Spirit will tell me and he'll tell you when something's not right in our life. And as soon as he tells us, we need to get it right. Amen. You say, I'm not going to do it, preacher. Then you're going to miss out on some happiness. See, God has all this happiness for us, and we won't allow God to relay it to us because we're not willing to receive it God's way. So number one, a conscious void of offense both toward God and man. Number two, to the love he felt for the Scriptures and the constant recuperative power they exercised upon his whole being. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs. That's just a couple of pages over. And I'm about to wrap this up, but I'm not in that big of a hurry because I want you to be happy. You say, well, I'll be happy when you finish. I hope you are. Not because of the time, but because of the content. I really want you to get this. Listen, I read where Charles Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, said this. He said he invited a preacher. While you're finding Proverbs chapter number 4, Charles Spurgeon said this. He said there was a guest preacher who came to preach at the church that he was pastoring. And he said, Mr. Spurgeon, what are you doing? And he said, what do you mean? He said, this is your congregation? And he said, yes. And he said, they seem so happy. And he said, okay, we're Christians, right? We're Christians. And he said, well, this doesn't seem like many of the Christians I've been in the presence of. What an indictment. I said earlier, when we meet here, brethren, we're not meeting here to mourn a defeat. We all have trials. We have tests. We have all kinds of things that are coming against us in life. But I want to be like Paul. I've learned how to be happy. I've learned how to be content. Though all the world and hell and everything else come against me, the flesh, I've learned by the grace of God how to be content through it all. Amen. How about you? You get to choose. David chose. He didn't say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," most of the time. I think it was a statement of finality, don't you? In Proverbs 4, you there? This is one of the things that Mr. Mueller said that helped him to live a life of happiness. He said, "I spent time in the Scripture." You say, "Preacher, I read my Bible every day. Was it doing this for you?" Notice what Proverbs 4, verse number 20 and following says. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart." Now here it is. "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Well, I tell you, the Word of God has a way of just recuperating and recharging and reviving and refreshing. How many times have I gone to the Word of God in the secret place and my heart be downcast and troubles all around me, and I've gotten in this book and the Spirit of God and the sweet Scriptures have ministered to my soul, and I came out feeling refreshed in the Lord. Happy. Because I knew the Lord is my shepherd. And it was confirmed in the Scripture. "I'm taking care of you, son. I've got this. You won't go through anything in life, dear Christian, that your shepherd is not aware of." Isn't that amazing? How comforting. Well, let's go back to the 23rd Psalm and we'll close. So we find the life of happiness, the lack of it. You know, when our country was founded, it was founded for life. Isn't that what Thomas Jefferson said? "All men are endowed by their Creator. We have certain inalienable rights to the pursuit of life, liberty." What's that last one? The pursuit of happiness. Did you know one of the very reasons that our country came out, fought for life and liberty, was so they could pursue happiness? It's the quest of all of men. Our forefathers understood this, but they also understood who gave it. That's why Thomas Jefferson said that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. The pursuit of happiness. Don't pursue it in the wrong places. Please don't pursue it. I read something by Ronald Reagan that I want to read you now. Many of you know that Ronald Reagan is my favorite president. You say, "I didn't like Ronald Reagan." Well, that's okay. You've been wrong before. Ronald Reagan said, supposing you fell asleep in 1960. I was born in 1960. He said, supposing you fell asleep in 1960 and awakened today, whatever day this was. And I think it goes right along. He said, you know what you would find? Double divorce rate. Did you ever think in your lifetime that you'd see divorce rate soar the way it soared? Now, if you're here today and you're divorced, I'm not fussing at you. Don't think that I'm belittling you. I'm just telling you some realities. Some things that will try to get into your heart and your home and strip you of your happiness. Where you'll fall asleep in 1960 and awaken today, it'll be tripled in teen suicide rate. Tripled. Quadrupled rate of reported violent crimes. Quintupled of prison population. Sextupled percent of babies born to unmarried parents. Sevenfold increase of cohabitation. You say, what's that? Shacking up. Sevenfold. We've lost our moral compass in this country. You know what I think has really led to that? Certainly evil and sin of the devil. The pursuit of happiness in the wrong places. Because at the time that these are going up, church attendance is going down. At the time that all of this is going up, our churches are dying. Because we have thought, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd is not enough. I've got to get out there and taste some of the world. I've got to experience some sin. I've got to get out there and involve myself in trying to feed this unquenchable thirst that's in my soul. It'll only be found in Jesus, my friend. Only the good shepherd can meet that need and quench that thirst. Amen. Only Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus. So please, don't look for it in the wrong places now. And there's plenty out there. I remind you again before I bring the message to a close. The psalmist did not say, the family is my shepherd. Because I have a good family, I shall not want. Thank God for my family. I love my family. But my family is not what's going to bring me lasting happiness. Though they do bring me happiness, every one of them. It's not the ministry. My career, if you want to call it that. It's not your career. That's not what's going to bring lasting happiness. It brings me great fulfillment and great happiness to be able to preach God's word and minister to God's people. And I know that if you're in God's will and your calling and your career and your vocation, it brings you great fulfillment and great happiness. But that is not going to get you to where David is. You're not going to be able to say it's because of my career, my calling, my vocation that I shall not want. Don't try to find it in the wrong place. So many today have. And brethren, it's the reason for all of these things that have taken us into a moral swamp. Because we thought that's where we're going to find happiness. A little more money. A little more popularity. A little more fame. I have quotes here that I won't read from people who had all of those things. Money, Rockefeller, fame, Hollywood personalities, popularity. That's just not where it's at. There's most of these things, there's nothing wrong with them if, in case that's what you're seeking to bring you happiness. You understand that, right? Let's bring it to a close. So we have the life of happiness, the lack of happiness, finally the Lord of happiness. Here it is right here, Psalm 23. Notice the wording here. The Lord. What's that next word? Is. Thank God for that. Can I tell you that David in heaven can still say that? Thank God for the ever-present shepherd. I can say that Jesus became my shepherd in 1980. When did he become yours? Here we are in 2024, I can still say the Lord is my shepherd. I could say it then, I can say it now. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank God for that never-ending union. And that's why David could say, look at it in verse number 6, all the days of my life. Amen? Jesus is going to be there. My shepherd's going to be there. He's promised you, dear Christian friend, never to leave you nor forsake you. The Lord will be right there by your side. He'll be your shepherd. He'll meet the need, and you will never have to say, I am in want. I'm lacking something. There's something missing. Oh, I'm here to tell you, before I got saved, there was something missing. I, too, tried to fulfill that with so many things from the world, and I'm not going to go into all of that, but you know what I'm talking about. When the Lord's not your shepherd, there's an emptiness. Please hear me. If there's a void in your life, if there's an emptiness, it may be. And I can't say that it is. I don't know what's in your heart or who's in your heart. But if there's an emptiness, if there's a void, if there's something missing, it very well may be that the Lord is not your shepherd. And maybe that he is, and you're just trying to fill that void with so many other things instead of letting Jesus have his rightful place in your life, which is on the throne of your heart. Can you say it? I'm happy. I'm happy, preacher. Can you say it? Oh, not for me. I have to deal with me. I'm going to tell you without reservation. I'm happy. I'm happy. You say, are you always happy? Well, no. But always should be. And always could be happy. I could. Because the Lord is always my shepherd. Amen. Are you happy? Is your life happy? The Lord's my shepherd. The Lord is. Not was. Not shall be, but he is. My. Make it personal. Make it personal. Is he your shepherd? You say, I knew a guy one time, the Lord was his shepherd. No, is he your shepherd? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? The word shepherd means overseer. He watches over me, and he provides for my needs. Let's all stand, if you would. The Lord is my shepherd. So many people pursuing happiness. I read it to one man who said that much of his life he was on a pursuit of happiness, and it was like trying to grab a greased pig. You ever seen one of those? We had a little greased pig out here, and well, they were trying to catch that little greased pig, and just when you think it's in your grasp, he slips away. Unfortunately, for many, many people, that's the way happiness is in their life. Just when they think, I found it! I found it! I just knew if I got that new car, it was going to fill that void. Until the first ding. Oh, I just knew if I got that new love in my life, she was going to fill my heart up. I just knew if I got that promotion, that was going to do it. The list could go on, couldn't it? It could go on and on. There's nothing wrong with anything I said, and in case you're counting on that to bring you lasting happiness. Only Jesus can do that. Let's bow our heads together. Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say with David, yes, he is. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Can you say that? I hope that you can. The pianist is going to begin to play.